Welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast about transportation in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm Jennifer. And this time on our show, we are giving James a week off. Instead, I have a special guest host, Leo Suarez. Welcome, Leo.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
You may know Leo from his blog, The Raleigh Connoisseur, which you can read at dtraleigh.com. Leo has been writing about downtown for almost 10 years now, which is why I asked him to co-host this episode.
Wait, it's not because we're married?
No. Sorry, no favors for spouses. Actually, Leo is the one doing me a favor. But today we were talking about the R line, something Leo has followed from the time it started. I have listened to him talk about it, a lot, let's say, for 10 years now. And it made sense to bring him in to be with us on this episode.
Well, I'm happy to help. I attended the ribbon cutting ceremony when the first buses started rolling, and have been using it for all kinds of reasons ever since. There's been a lot of change around the R line with downtown's development, but the R line itself is still basically in the same shape since the beginning.
But before we get to all that, we can't miss out on talking about the transit tax, which you probably know passed on Tuesday. Yay! That one came in early, which was good. I don't know about you, but staying up till 3 in the morning on a weeknight, what? Not gonna happen.
No.
Anyway, so I don't think I'm too surprised it passed. Were you surprised, Leo?
Not surprised, but I was a little nervous thinking that it might not pass. The plan served the core of Raleigh, but you know, some of the areas in the outlying precincts of the county weren't getting any direct service or weren't getting any frequent service, so perhaps they were against it, and I didn't, you know, maybe they were able to tip it to against.
Well, and you did show me a map of how people voted, and that's pretty much how it went. It was a lot of people in the core voted for it, and it turned out 53% supported. So it was just enough. But it did have me wondering if it didn't pass, like, should we even keep this podcast going? But there's still a lot going on with transit and transportation, so I don't have to answer that question anyway. Yay, it passed. So obviously we're going to be keeping our eye on that and the development of all of that's going to happen now that the tax has passed. Collection doesn't begin until next spring, but we're told some of those early changes are going to be visible within a few years. So now that it's passed, we encourage you to take a look at the plan again with some fresh eyes and some questions. I know I've got several on how this is all going to play out, so we're going to be taking a look at that again soon and touching base with some people who can give us more information. Meanwhile, today's topic is the R line. One reason we wanted to bring this up is because the R line may be changing as well. But before we can get to the future part, we need to kind of go back and give everyone some context. So let's back up a bit, and Leo here is going to give me some history on the R line and some basic facts.
Yeah, here are the basics. Well, it started in 2009. If you're not familiar with it, it's a circulator bus. It does a one-way counterclockwise loop through downtown. And the whole idea of it, it's the purpose of it back in 2009, was to move visitors from the convention center around downtown. You know, they're coming into town, they're visiting, got to get them to the restaurants, got to let them move around. And the convention center opened a year or two before that, so it was a way to support it and move people around.
Right, and right now it operates 7 days a week. Most days it starts at 7 a.m., and it's available until 11 p.m. Monday through Wednesday. On the weekends it stays out late, that's Thursday through Saturday, till 2:15 a.m., and then Sunday, it runs the shorter schedule from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. One cool thing about it running in a circle, if you're not a transit rider frequently, is that the circle makes it just easy to catch. You walk up to one of the R lines, they have 20 stops, and you wait till the bus gets there. And you can see it run in real time on a map on your phone using the Downtown Raleigh app, so you can kind of see where it is and how much longer your wait's going to be.
Right, the two buses run the loop simultaneously. In general, they arrive at each stop every 15 minutes, which means the average wait time is 7.5 minutes. But just a heads up, if you have not ridden it, the bus takes a 5-minute break at the convention center to make sure that the two buses don't bunch up. It's also important to note that some of those 20 stops only operate during certain hours, mainly the warehouse district stops.
Yeah, and if you're an R line newbie, that is pretty important to know because you wouldn't want to be standing there wondering why this bus just, you know, skipped your section entirely. I also think it's interesting that it doesn't actually stop at each of those stops. It's only going to stop if they see someone waiting or if you pull the cord while you're on the bus to indicate that you want to get off at the next stop. So if you're riding the bus, if you're new at this, just be sure to pull the cord and let the driver know that your stop is coming up. And speaking of the cord, someone please tell me if there's an official name for that because I'm calling it the pull cord and I'm like, wait, what? You can write to us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com or tweet at me, inboundraleigh, and please, some expert out there, tell me what that's called.
Yeah, pulling a cord is it's a little antiquated, isn't it?
Kind of feels that way.
Yeah. I mean, there's some buses out there that have a button.
Yeah. Now. Yeah, you and I rode some like that in Australia. And that's right. I just thought that was nice. Like, ding.
A button with a nice sign saying, push to stop or something like that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Seems easy.
I guess the cord's easy, but it just feels weird.
Anyway, the other really important thing about the R line is that it's free, or fare less, if you want to be technical. And this is where some people get cranky, but we're definitely going to circle back to that crankiness later. So let's keep going with some of the history. This is the part I like to talk about, because a lot of people dislike the R line in some way, and I think they forget what it is and what it is meant for. Again, the focus was on getting people from the convention center basically to Glenwood South. And why Glenwood South is because you gotta go back in history of how downtown Raleigh, and a lot's changed in such a short time. In 2009, the main nightlife scene, the dining scene, was Glenwood South. You might think now that it's all in Fayetteville Street District, Moore Square, and the Warehouse District, but really back then, it was Glenwood South. How do we get people from the convention center to Glenwood South? At the time, you know, the amphitheater was new. The City Plaza was still just kind of getting going or under construction. You know, the options on Fayetteville Street were far fewer compared to Glenwood South. So that was the thinking back then. And you gotta recognize that, keep that in mind as we kind of step through time following the R line and its changes.
And over time, things have changed. So perhaps, you know, it's time for the R line to get a change in order to keep up. That's what some city officials were thinking back then. So let's keep going. We've covered some of the basic information about the R line. Now let's talk controversy. We mentioned that the bus is free, although Leo's right that that's technically, we mean fareless, because obviously it's not free. Mm-hmm. There is a cost to running the service. And the fact that there is no fare is a big complaint for a lot of people who argue that it should cost something, just like all of our city buses do. The city spends between $68,000 and $80,000 per month on the R line, and that adds up to a total of more than $923,000 last year.
Yeah, I got that data from the finance folks at Go Raleigh. Go Raleigh is the local transit agency, and they are the operator of the R line. The idea that the bus is free to ride, but the city is using taxpayer money, nearly $1 million a year, that kind of bugs some people, especially people who ride the city's other bus routes. And they have a fare that just went up in recent years, and I believe there's still going to be a phased-in increase coming up.
Right. So but this goes back to making it easy for people who are just visiting Raleigh, the convention center crowd. If the idea is to draw in visitors, it makes sense to have the bus be free so that it's easy. I could argue this both ways, though. I can see where people get mad about that. What would be helpful to know, though, is whether people using it really are visitors. Do we know how many of its riders are visitors versus how many actually live in the city?
Right. I haven't seen a breakdown like that. I'm not sure. There might have been surveys to see who's a visitor, who's a local. We'll have to follow up on that. But I was able to obtain some historical ridership numbers for the R line, riders per month, going back to the very first month that it started, February 2009, up until this year in June. And a few things kind of jump out at me. So starting from 2009, the R-Line had year-over-year ridership growth. So that's 4 years up from 2009 to 2012, where it peaked. Since 2012, there's been a yearly decline ever since. So if we keep dropping at the same rate, we're on track for another down year in 2016. So to sum it up, 4 years up and 4 years down over the eight-year span. And what could be sad is that at the current rate, 2017 might look like it'll have fewer riders than 2009. So what could have happened in 2012? That's kind of something that people might need to look at.
Right, and a lot of people are probably thinking, oh, well, you know, ride-sharing has hit the scene, and that's certainly a factor cited when people are talking about these ridership declining numbers.
Right. A lot of people are using ride-sharing, like Uber and Lyft, but that came to Raleigh in 2014, so I'm not sure that people are getting around any differently. It may just be that a number of places to go, like shops and restaurants, bars, they've greatly changed in the downtown core of the Fayetteville Street District. So perhaps there are just less trips between the Convention Center and Glenwood South. Those aren't needed as much since it's an easy walk from the convention center, the hotels nearby, right to Fayetteville Street.
Yeah, and one complaint people have is that, quote, no one, and I'm using little air quotes here in the studio, no one rides the airline. And that goes along with the cost. Like, why are we paying for something if no one is using it? But I kind of roll my eyes a little bit at that because that's one of those things people say, right? Like, the last time you saw the airline drive by you while you were sitting in your car, it was empty. So based on that one time, no one must ride, apparently. Now, of course, Leo just gave some figures on ridership, so we know people are using it, although, yes, it is declining. But I do agree, the bus, it does tend to feel empty a lot. I rode it last week. I don't have as much opportunity to use the airline these days, so I wanted to kind of reacquaint myself with it. And during my trip, I saw 9 people, and that was about a 25-minute ride to do the full loop. I started from the convention center and ended there. That 9 included myself, and this was at 11:15 on a weekday morning, so probably not, you know, peak hours.
Right. I also had an opportunity to use it last week, and this was on a weekday around 7:30 in the evening, probably a low time, but I was one of 4 total on there. There was one couple in the back. I believe they were playing Pokemon Go.
I did while I wrote it. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. And that's still a rider. You know,
yeah.
I don't know if they were legitimately using it to get from point A to point B, but that counts, right? So yeah, that's 7:30 weekday, not too much usage, but
maybe the airline just needs to do some sort of Pokemon promotion.
They really could. It works very well.
So we're saying these probably aren't the peak hours for the bus, which has become known as the drunk bus to some people. We asked online ahead of time before we recorded this episode for people to share their thoughts with us, and one person said, quote, the R-Line is to Raleigh what the drunk train is to NYC. The R-Line is definitely a great feature, end quote. This was on Twitter. I thought that was pretty funny.
All right. Well, if that's true, that's a good thing that people aren't driving drunk to get from Glenwood South to Fayetteville Street, or vice versa. But we also heard from someone who uses it to commute. James D. told us he uses the bus to commute, and that, quote, it was a lifesaver during the summer heat. Made some friends who live in the apartments around my stop who use it getting to work in the Fayetteville Street area. Just met a guy who moved into the Gramercy and is using it. So more apartments are helping, in my opinion, end quote. So that's something to think about. Will the ridership numbers go up as more people move downtown who work nearby?
I really like that point, because we've had so many new apartments coming online downtown. But I'm betting the bulk of those residents still are going to get into their cars to drive to work, because we have all these new apartments, but a lot of those jobs that people work at to pay for those apartments aren't going to be downtown still. Also, downtown itself has changed a bit. So if you're in the core around Fayetteville Street, there's a lot more nightlife, like Leo said earlier. It's not the ghost town that it used to be, like when you lived on Fayetteville Street back in 2009.
That's right. Ridership numbers might also go up if the bus changed its path. A lot of people have asked for the loop to include Cameron Village. In 2011, there was a petition that went around from Cameron Village residents that wanted the R-Line route changed to include that area. The idea that then people could easily get to the stores from downtown, so you won't have to drive. But really, the counter-argument to that is that there's already a bus route that goes through Cameron Village. Actually, two of them. The number 12 Method and the number 16 Oberlin both serve Cameron Village today, and back then, it's just been working. So that petition caught a little bit of attention. I believe there was got a news article going, but it didn't end up going anywhere.
Yeah, and that ride only cost $1.25. If you want a day pass, that's $2.50. A few years back, the Downtown Living Advocates did an event where they took a group ride using that bus line. I'm not sure which of the two they took. It might have been the 12. Anyway, they were trying to show people how easy it is. I don't know how successful the event was, but I thought it was a pretty cool idea. We've talked before on this show, and I'm sure we will again, that sometimes people are afraid to ride transit because it's unfamiliar and you're not sure how it works, and I get that, like, kind of scary. So this seemed like a nice way to introduce some local residents on, you know, hey, here's how you can get over to Cameron Village using a bus. I might check with the DLA and see if they'll do that again. We're going to link to that group in our show notes, by the way. If you live downtown, you should definitely check them out.
Right. I mean, clearly some people in, you know, Cameron Village saw value in the R-Line if they wanted to, you know, be a part of it and have it serve their area. I may have been in the minority who saw this, but North Hills also wanted to copy the R-Line. They posted on their blog in 2013 for an idea, plans for an M-Line, and the idea was that it would go from North Hills to Downtown Raleigh, or Midtown Raleigh, as they were trying to brand it. And that didn't go anywhere. And unfortunately, that blog post was taken down, but I swear I saw
it. Interesting, interesting. So, well, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, so I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's right.
The M9. Maybe they ditched that idea in favor of the other transit idea they're talking about to get people to and from across the Six Forks Road.
That's right, the PRT, I believe it's called.
Yeah, don't worry, we're going to be talking about that again, because that came up not too long ago, and NC State's been talking about it, so I'm excited to that topic, but anyway, keep going. Right.
And, you know, there have been other extensions and additions that people have proposed for the R line. People suggest adding a stop near NC State's campus, extending the R line further into the growing Person Street district. Right now, it just stops at Seaboard Station. Eric Lamb was quoted in the NNO as saying, if either of those situations happened, they'd add another bus to the route, because, of course, it would take longer with a larger loop.
Right, so you're adding more reach, but then the bus takes longer, so that might make ridership go down. And the other thing city officials are talking about as all this discussion is happening is, should we charge for the R line so that it's not completely subsidized by taxpayer dollars? But then again, you're probably losing some riders, right? So according to an NNO article on the R line earlier this year, a 2014 survey of riders indicated that people would not be willing to pay a dollar to ride this bus, which... I don't know. That seems a little silly to me. I mean, people go online and pay 99 cents for some stupid app, and it took someone a long time to code that, right? So somehow that stupid fart app that you downloaded provides value, but, you know, your bus ride doesn't. What argument is that the loop is so short? So, you know, it's hard to get that value. The whole thing is only 3.6 miles. But I'm still arguing you just got to ride in a heated or air-conditioned space. And, I mean, to me, that's worth something when it's 100 degrees outside. Or, you know, ladies, if maybe you're not wearing the right shoes for a good walk downtown, those high heels, come on, like, I'll pay a dollar for a ride.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, though, when the R line got going, Mayor Charles Meeker pointed out that most riders weren't going more than a few blocks.
Right.
And again, it goes back to the history and who's using it. The point is, to move downtown visitors around, a free circulator makes it more attractive to get them from the convention center and out and about downtown. If you put a small fare, then those riders will be less likely to ride. I think for locals, though, paying a small fare with no changes to the service is a tough sell. If the R line was faster in some way, had more stops, then adding a fare may entice locals, residents, to ride.
Yeah, and, you know, back to that same point. It's supposed to be for visitors and tourists. I did a quick search online just real fast just to see what other cities have some circulator buses. And a lot of times it is places where there's tourism. Baltimore, for example, has a 30 buses running 4 different circulator loops. But it sounds like they are actually cutting back on that service somewhat this year for the cost reasons. The D.C. Area has a large circulator. That ride does cost a dollar. And Columbus in Ohio also has one that's free. Those are just a few examples.
Bring on the tourists.
Yeah, maybe we just need more tourists in Raleigh.
Exactly. So... another issue with the bus being free is that some people have called it racist. Go Raleigh did a study and found that about 72% of their ridership is black, the system as a whole. They also tend to be the city's poorest residents. In this study, which was cited in an NNO article, 35% of riders have an annual household income of less than $10,000, and about 55% of riders make less than $15,000 a year. One more figure. If you bump it up to $25,000 a year, you've got 73% of the ridership.
Wow. So 73% of the CAT riders make less than $25,000 a year. That's pretty incredible. So right now, so Octavia Rainey, she's the leader of the North Central Citizens Advisory Council, say that 3 times fast, said that the city's low-income residents, they shouldn't have to pay these like huge chunks of these small salaries. Well, downtown people are getting a free ride basically to the bars, right? Rainey is a local activist. If you pay any attention to city news, you've probably heard or read her name. I'm getting a lot of this from an NNO article, and we'll be putting that in the show notes, by the way.
Yeah, in that article, she's saying for some people, $2 a ride is a lot of money, and that the R line runs until 2 a.m. on weekends, while the city's regular buses stop at midnight. Finally, the R line gave out free cupcakes and cookies once on Valentine's Day, but that's never happened on city buses that we know of.
Yeah.
So... she's pointing out these differences and calling them racist.
And it kind of sounds like a fair point. I mean, what's up with the free cupcakes?
Yeah.
I'm sure the bus drivers could use a free cupcake once in a while. I wonder if they ever get one.
Thank a bus driver day. Free yeah. cupcakes. That's what we need to put in place. But that article that we're talking about ran in July 2014. And around that time, things got a little heated because the city announced that the bus fares were going to increase on the Go Raleigh bus system. And, I still go back to that same intent of what the R Line was put in place for. Moving people visiting the convention center to get them around town. So always got to recognize that while we're talking about the R Line. And around that time, you know, in my opinion, I felt like the R Line was getting picked on, where Raleigh just was faced with some other issues going on. Maybe some inequality issues, affordable housing issues. And the R Line seemed to get, picked on around that time. So maybe we're at the point where we need to reevaluate it. If it's not needed anymore, maybe we get rid of it. If not, maybe the changes we're ready for some changes.
Right. I agree with that. I think it might be time for the R Line to change. Maybe it's not adding a fare, but maybe we're adjusting the route in some way. And that's bringing us to another point about the R Line. It is a circulator, meaning it goes in a circle. Sorry, that sounds really obvious, but I just want to make sure everyone's following along. Transit people often discuss whether circulator buses are a good idea for a few reasons. One, some stops along the circle, if you're like picturing a little circle, and I'm holding my hands in a circle right now as I talk, are close together. So it's quicker and easier to just walk from point A to point B across the circle in some cases.
Right, the R Line route, kind of in the southern end downtown, kind of loops a little close to each other. You know, it goes down, it's near the convention center, but then it loops around on Wilmington Street. There are opportunities to just walk right across.
Right.
So this one-way loop that we have, if you're heading towards your destination, tourists are going around on the loop, and you want to show them different parts of the city, that makes sense because you want to expose them to all these different areas. But the we locals, we know where we're going. It might feel like it takes too long to go around this circle, and by cutting across and just walking, you know, we want to avoid that kind of penalty, that kind of, you know, going around the circle rather than just getting in a straight line.
That makes sense to me. I mean, when I'm riding the line, I try to avoid the pause at the convention center because it does take, you know, 5 or 6 minutes, which, I mean, in the grand scheme of things isn't a long time, I guess, but hey, we all have the attention span of a goldfish these days. So if I'm impatient, I get off and start walking. So maybe the city, you know, the change that needs to happen is a reconsideration of where those stops are located. So that brings us to discussion about the future. Leo once predicted that the R Line would run its last ride this year. Leo, do you still think that's going to happen?
It was definitely a bold prediction on my part. I think most of the changes to the buses, including the R Line this year, have been put on hold, waiting for this transit tax to see which direction go after that. So perhaps things might start shaking, moving, now that we know that it's passed. I could see it going away if some of the bus service moves up to the next level. If the bus service becomes more frequent, serves more areas, then the R Line may not be needed. We'll have buses coming from Moore Square, and when Union Station comes online, there'll be buses coming out of there, so maybe the R Line could change to support both of those places. Or it'll just be repurposed as new development comes in downtown and, you know, new nightlife pops up in new places. Who knows?
Yeah, there's no specific mention of the R Line in the transit plan, at least not that I saw. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But, of course, it does make sense, you know, for city officials to wait and see how that would go. You've got to factor in, you know, if the tax didn't pass, it might make more sense to tweak the R Line so it serves a wider area or wider group. But now that that's coming in the future, maybe it makes more sense to go the other way. Save the money, do something else. We'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, one more quick thing to mention are the citizen advisory councils. Jennifer mentioned them earlier. If you live in Raleigh, you're automatically a member of one of them, and they take votes on issues and pass that information along to city council. So get involved and go to yours.
And yeah, we're going to put a link to that in our show notes. I just want to include that information because I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, hey, the CAC thing, what is that? That's something you can go to. They take votes on issues and the city council pays attention to those votes. It may or may not affect their decision, but I mean, at least that's information that they have. You can find all this information at inboundraleigh.com, and we want to hear from you on this issue. I did tweet about this a little bit before, but I want to hear more. Like, do you love the R-Line? Do you hate it? What should be changed? Do you use it? Is it just your drunk bus? Definitely give us a shout. You can email us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Our handle on both those platforms is inboundraleigh. And before we wrap up, I always like to give a little shout out to Little Raleigh Radio. We record using their equipment and studio, and our show airs first on littleraleighradio.org. If you want to support Raleigh Voices, then go to littleraleighradio.org and donate $5 per month. That'd be fantastic. So thanks again for listening. We'll catch you next time.